It is a Saturday morning here in CCU Land when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. How are you this fine morning?
You know, I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for asking. I hope you are as well. And we always look forward to seeing what you have on your mind on Saturdays.
Well, I have on my mind today, last night, looking out at that snow, I mean, it's a lot of it, but it sure is pretty to look at. Yeah. And I was having lamb stew and a glass of Chateauneuf du Pape. And I thought, you know, here's one of the unsung wines of the world. That's tomorrow what we should talk about. Chateauneuf du Pape is a French wine, and it gets its name from the castle of the new pope, which unto itself is a very interesting thing. In 1300s, so over 700 years ago, they had a schism in the Catholic Church, and they elected a new pope, and he was French, and he moved the Vatican from Rome to Avignon, France. And that the papacy stayed in Avignon for 70 years. And Avignon became the town of the popes, etc. And that the papacy stayed in Avignon for 70 years. And Avignon became the town of the popes, etc., etc. So that 70 years, it was the center of Christianity, etc. And the Avignon papacy, was well known throughout the world. And, of course, in doing that, they brought their culinary skills, etc., from Italy. And their wine preferences. And while they certainly liked, and mind you, 70 years is a long time, they liked the wine of Burgundy, and the wines from the Chateauneuf du Pape area, which wasn't called Chateauneuf du Pape at the time, but they were used to fortify these Burgundy wines because they added a little. In fact, they were fortifying them up until World War I. When you bought a Burgundy, chances are a third of that Burgundy was wine from the Rhone Valley. Maybe I think people have heard me say before, the Rhone Valley produced these big, robust wines which helped stabilize the wine and increase their longevity. They could last longer. And in 1900, the most popular wine in London was something called Lafite Hermitage, where they blended Chateau Lafite Rothschild, which is a great Bordeaux that's world known, and they blended it with Hermitage, which is the best wine of the Northern Rhone, which is almost 100% Syrah. And in doing that, that was the number one wine in all of London, and for that matter, all of the sophisticated world, was this Hermitage Lafite, and it was a blended wine using it. But we're going back 700 years, and they started to blend Chateauneuf du Pape with the Burgundies. Well, under John the 22nd, who was the Pope at the time, he created some new viticultural practices, and he became the wine pope. And he built a castle there that is the basis for Chateauneuf du Pape, and he developed a passion for these wines. They really were remarkable wines. And the good news is for everybody is they're still remarkable today. And what a value. You know, a Chateauneuf du Pape, well-made, etc., will last for years. You can't say that about a lot of wines throughout the world. And fortunately, the explosion in prices of fine wine throughout the world hasn't really hit Burgundy, or hasn't really hit the Rhone Valley as hard as it's hit its northern neighbor, Burgundy, or for that matter, Bordeaux, or for that matter, the whole world of wine. The high-end wines are getting more and more expensive, and you have to reach out and really look for some wines that are very, very good and very, very affordable. And I was fortunate enough to have a bottle of wine the other night with my delicious stew as I looked out at that pretty white snow, called Chateau Lafond. It was a 2018 Chateauneuf du Pape. Retails for about $35. It was 5 years old in 1918. And then I just, for fun, opened a bottle of, that I had around of 2003 of the same wine. It was 20 years old, and it was absolutely marvelous. And those wines are well under $50. I think the Lafon retails for about $35. And to have a wine of that intensity, quality, and depth for that kind of money is really a great bargain. And, you know, you can acquire those wines. The 18 is on our shelves right now, so it's, 5 years old and ready to drink. And it'll get nothing but better. But anyhow, so it has this noble history going back to the popes. And it's a big area of France, so it provides a lot of wine. Châteauneuf-du-Pape is the primary wine of the southern Rhone. The Rhone is divided into two parts, northern and southern. In the northern Rhone, Syrah is the principal grape type. In the southern Rhone, it's Grenache. They grow plenty of both in either end. But as I said earlier, Hermitage is almost 100% Syrah, and some Châteauneuf-du-Papes are almost 100% Grenache. In fact, the original recipe for Châteauneuf-du-Pape, which is still used by the people at Chateau Beaucastle, Beaucastle means pretty house, and the Beaucastle people use that original recipe that contains 13 varietals that are blended into the final Châteauneuf-du-Pape of Chateau Beaucastle. But more progressive ones have changed the recipe, and as I said, they even use some white wines, white wine grapes, in that 13 varietal blend. And they have been absolutely swear by it, and who can deny the pleasures of Chateau Beaucastle? It really is a delightful, wonderful Châteauneuf-du-Pape. But it's made the old-fashioned way. And some of the newer ones, where they're made with more Grenache, are really very interesting. And, you know, Rhone wines, as I've said in the past many times, are some of the great values in the world. You can buy a really good Rhone wine for under $15, and you'd be very happy to have that in everyday red wine in your house. It's even good enough for really good occasions at $15, and there aren't many wines like that. But we're talking basically about the best of the southern Rhone, which is Châteauneuf-du-Pape. Châteauneuf-du-Pape has a good place in history of winemakers because there were some fraud in the area right after World War One, and they decided, the French government decided to step right in 1923, and they issued the first appellation contrôlée, or controlled place, for wines. And now, of course, every area of wine growing in France has its own AOC and regulations it has to follow, etc. But the first one was Châteauneuf-du-Pape to combat the skullduggery and fooling around that they were doing, monkeying with grapes. And Chateau Forestia, which is a great Châteauneuf-du-Pape, was the principal director of that. Châteauneuf-du-Papes are fairly strong in alcohol. They're usually over 12.5%, 13%. They can go as high as 15%. But they're really a remarkable wine because they're such a good value in today's market, and they take bottle age. When friends suggest wine that they want to put away, but they don't want to break the bank, I always go right to Châteauneuf-du-Pape because it's reliable and really a wine that, you know, if it's well made, it'll last a while, if you store it well, of course. But the area there is so interesting to me. As you walk through those vineyards, you'd swear you were on a cobblestone road. There are all these stones everywhere and pebbles, and the vines grow right through that, and those, of course, pebbles help keep the wines warm at night because it does get chilly on that Rhone Valley where Châteauneuf-du-Pape is. But and then it releases that heat at night, so it acts as a heating air conditioning system, sort of. And the wines are really just remarkable. In fact, it's kind of funny. There's a wine from that area called Cigar Vallon, and Cigar Vallon in the 50s they had these cigar-shaped things in the air, kind of, they thought they were flying saucers, but they called them flying cigars. And as a matter of fact, they've banned them, and the ban is still in effect in that whole Chateauneuf-du-Pape area, as if they could control that type of stuff. But anyhow, I think it's fun, and they do have a Chateauneuf-du-Pape called Cigar Vallon. Then there's View Telegraph, and as I said, Boldcastle, which is one of my favorites, and one of the most eccentric guys I ever met in the wine business was at Chateau Reyes. He makes wonderful Chateauneuf-du-Pape, very old-fashioned, and he was using a wine thief, which is a long pipette, a glass pipette, but they put in a barrel and, excuse me, take it out and fill your glass with it. And he was standing up at the top of the barrel, and he took out the pipette, and my friend he was tasting with had a white shirt on. Well, all of a sudden the shirt was half red because he took his finger off the top of the pipette, and all the wine flew out onto my friend's shirt. And, of course, we all had a good laugh over it in the wine business. Those kind of things are sort of expected. And you, usually when you're off tasting wine, you don't wear white shirts. But anyhow, it was a good lesson for all of us. And the good news is the stain came right out. But Chateau Reyes is not a wine that you want to miss. It's really, really good. And, you know, they do make a white Chateauneuf-du-Pape, which I find very interesting. However, it's a lot of Viognier in it, but it's the same price as, in some instances, a little more than the red wine. But the area is so well known for the red wines that it produces that I certainly wouldn't spend that kind of money. It's fun to try it and be able to say, well, I've had Chateauneuf-du-Pape Blanc, but and it's a small portion. The wines, maybe 6% of the wines of Chateauneuf-du-Pape are white wine. But it's interesting to try Chinso and Grenache Blanc and are the other grape types that are found in white wines. But the common ones are, of course, the red ones. And they have kind of a jam-like nose and deep color, deep spice. Chateauneuf-du-Pape wines are often discovered and described as earthy flavors with hints of leather. But that doesn't sound very appealing. I think they have a little fruit and a good tannin amount to them that lets you know that this wine is somebody, pay attention to me. And that's how a wine should be, but it shouldn't jump out of the glass and say, pay attention to me, and ignore the food you're with. Chateauneuf-du-Pape is really a food wine. It goes so well with anything that's hearty and robust. And, of course, in these snowy days, I can't think of a red wine that is better to have on a chilly, snowy night than a glass of Chateauneuf-du-Pape with a hearty, say, cassolette. That's a French stew that's made with white beans that is just absolutely delicious, in my opinion. That white bean, you usually put chicken and sausage in there with the white beans, and it's a very, very hearty dish. And I think Chateauneuf-du-Pape goes very well with it, in spite of the fact that the other night I didn't have cassolette. I was having a lamb stew, and that went pretty well with the Chateauneuf-du-Pape as well. As I said, the wines are a little higher in alcohol than a lot of other red wines, but that's the regulation. They can't sell Chateauneuf-du-Pape that isn't a minimum of 12.5%, and typically it's between 13 and 15%, never over 15%. But good color extraction. It really is a wonderful wine, and that's a nice area of France to visit. You know, it's just outside of Provence, so it has lovely fields of lavender. And as you stand on the hill overlooking the Rhone River, you can't help but think that those cardinals and the popes 700 years ago were visionaries if they ever dreamt that this wine would become so popular around the world. And as I say, the really, really good news of it is it's so very, very affordable. Today, when we look at Bordeaux's going for hundreds of dollars a bottle, and the same with Burgundy's, there aren't many bottles of wine that will age well, impress your friends, impress your palate and be very affordable.
Excellent. Jack, we know you can find all the good things you talk about at any Haskell's location.
Indeed. The folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They can't cook the meal, but they can make the meal a memorable occasion by picking the right wine. And, you know, they're really good at that. We've been doing it for 85 years. And they'll help you pick a wine that won't break the bank, a nice, affordable wine. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine, spirits, and beer. Haskell's in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's in Excelsior. Right off at 35, there's a Haskell's in Faribault. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of vineyards of the world. In Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, Plymouth, St. Paul's Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Excellent. Jack, let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's.